I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Every now and then, I look at all the people on the street plugged into their earbuds. And even though I'm in a happy relationship, I think about the women I've met over the years just because of a conversation that started on a sidewalk somewhere. How do you do that these days when everyone's too busy with their devices? Romance problems in the modern world, I guess. Aziz Ansari, the comedian and actor and now writer, has just come out with a book called Modern Romance. He teamed up with a sociologist from New York University, Eric Kleinenberg, and the two of them traveled around the globe to take the pulse of romance in the early 21st century. One stop was in Tokyo, where Ansari tried to figure out why marriage and birth rates in Japan are plummeting. He says he came across some eye-opening statistics.
Females aged 16 to 24, 46% despise sexual contact. And then for men, it's what, like about 25% in that same age range despise sexual contact.
Yeah, it's not that they're not interested. They despise it.
Despise is a harsh word. I mean, as I said before, despise, it's like you see some breasts and you're like, get them away from me. I despise those. I despise sexuality.
You found that a lot of young people in Japan are very plugged into technology that might help them connect, but yet they couldn't really be bothered to date. Do you think that maybe the kind of presence, the omnipresence of technology is distracting them from sex?
Well, that is one of the things that they talk about with the herbivore man, which is the term they give to these guys that are not interested in dating or sex or marriage. And they say, oh, they're so wrapped up in games and things like that. If I comment on that, I'm just speculating. But I do think what was interesting was you would think, oh, the Japanese, they're so embracing of technology that they'd be using it for dating and romance. But online dating and those things haven't really taken off. And it seems to kind of clash with their culture in different ways. For example, you know, a big part of online dating is taking profile pictures, posting photos of yourself. Mm. And in their culture, it's kind of douchey to do that, as it used to be here at one time. And
why? Is it just kind of self-promotion is not a thing to do?
Yeah, it seems very narcissistic. You know, it's just totally different from here, where all people want to do is take selfies all day. But there, it's very narcissistic. So they don't post photos of themselves. They just post photos of random stuff. And I ask, like, what kind of photos? And they're like, oh, they'll post a photo of maybe their cat or a rice cooker. Yeah. There was like a profile
Jared's
photo.
Yeah,
of a rice cooker. A guy's like, hey, I can make rice. Let's do this. There's another place we talk to people a lot that was really interesting to me is in Qatar, in Doha, and just seeing how things work in that kind of society where it's like so crazy religious and you can get in trouble for even holding hands with someone of the opposite sex. And then you see how technology is really changing the game with, you know, something like Snapchat. Now people are like sending photos to each other, like, you know, explicit photos sometimes. You're not supposed to like be mingling with people of the opposite sex. So what they do is they'll use Facebook to like coordinate these parties in hotel rooms, and they'll just tell everyone, hey, everyone go to like room 503, and everyone just kind of sneaks in there and they're like having fun and mingling with people of the opposite sex and
just being with the opposite sex.
I mean, I think it's more just kind of just hanging. Yeah. Not necessarily it's a crazy it's not like a crazy swinger scene from what I gathered, but even that, it's a big deal.
So in Japan, with the kind of absence of romance, what are men doing sexually? I mean, we know the stereotypes of sexual activity in Japan. Did you find the reality to match up to that bizarre perception?
Well, there is what someone once brilliantly referred to as a relationship replacement industry. You know, there's all sorts of things like, you know, there's these devices called a Tenga, which is just kind of a masturbation device. There's places people go, like, there's, you know, there's things like cuddle cafes. There's a thing called host clubs where you go and you sit with your male friends and this woman comes over and kind of hangs out with you. But there's nothing sexual. She's just kind of hanging out with you. It's basically like, you know, kind of like a waitress that's really flirting with you for a long time and has drinks with you, lights your cigarettes, and it's very flirty. And guys go to places like that. And there's a female version of that as well. And yeah, there's just kind of this, there's a lot of things they're using to kind of replace their lack of traditional relationships.
What was it like talking to complete strangers about this stuff?
I come off in a way that where it's clear that I'm not, my intent isn't malicious and I'm not going to make fun of you. And I'm really just trying to understand this stuff. So people were very open with me in a way that was really interesting. And people were quick to open up their phones and let me look at like their real text messages and things like that, which is really interesting because you learn so much seeing the actual messages as opposed to someone just reporting what's going on. If you ask someone, for example, the first time we did one of these interviews, I asked this woman, I was like, so what's going on with this guy you've been texting? She's like, oh, it's going pretty well. And I was like, well, can I actually see the messages? And she's like, okay. And then I looked at the messages and the guy's name on her phone was Eric Don't Text Till Thursday. Like, that's, she stored his last name as Don't Text Till Thursday, because she's so paranoid about, like, oh, I can't, like, come up over eager or whatever.
Did they know you from Parks and Rec? Did that open anything up?
There were people that were for sure familiar with who I was as a comedian, and that definitely helped them be more comfortable, for sure.
So in Argentina and Buenos Aires, you find a very different scene where men are super aggressive in pursuing women, and texting is kind of key to pursuit there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the opposite of Japan. If Japan is the world of the herbivore man, then Buenos Aires is the land of the ribeye-eating maniac.
Cro-Magnon.
Yeah, just really sexually aggressive, rampant, just cheating and sex. Like, it's just such an insane sexual culture everywhere. And
do they even
sometimes
need to text?
Gets a little scary. It just, you know, there's guys that are just like, just messaging so many women and just trying to just, you know, really go after it and in a very aggressive way that sometimes can be a little scary.
So let me posit a bottom line here and see if you agree. Tinder may seem like a mercenary way to spend the night with someone, but the whole world is just as messed up. True or false?
Tinder seems to be like a thing that people are quick to say, like, oh, it's evidence of how people are shallow or whatever. But to me, it's really not. If you look at it, it's a cynical view to kind of dismiss that thing, because really, like, all right, well, what happens at any bar or party or anything? You're walking around, you're seeing people's faces, and when you see people, you're like, no, 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 yes. And then you see a face and you look at it and you're like, that face, it feels good looking at the face. I'm going to go up to the person. And then you walk up to them and you guys start talking and maybe something happens. To me, that's the same exact thing as Tinder. It's just, you know, a new form. It's like kind of a modern version of that.
You often joke about your parents who were born in southern India and how they found love. And you've got a whole show coming up on Netflix, Master of None, that mm-hmm. will be somewhat autobiographical. Tell us about your conversation with your dad about how he and your mom got together.
Well, my parents had an arranged marriage. They're married in India. And I asked my dad, I was like, well, how did that happen? He's like, well, you know, I told my parents I was ready to get married. They talked to some families they knew. And they introduced me to some women, and then I eventually met your mom, and that was the person I picked to get married to. I was like, well, how many women did you meet? And he was like, two. And I was like, two? Like, well, what was wrong with the first lady? And he's like, she was a little bit too tall. And then then he, like, met my mom, was like, all right, perfect height. Let's do this. And they got married, like, a week later. And that does seem, like, really crazy, right? But then I went and talked to women and men in retirement homes in America, and they talked about how they got married, and it wasn't that different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it may seem really foreign, but in some strange way, all your dad did was really swipe Tinder once and then found the face
he
liked.
Yes, exactly. You're right.
Would you ever do that, though, as crazy as it seems, an arranged marriage?
No, I think, you know, anyone growing up now in you know, America and this culture is kind of instilled this idea of marrying this perfect person and a soulmate and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we're a generation that has more options than anyone. We want to meet like a million people before we say yes to someone. We don't want to meet two or three. You know, you meet so many different people throughout your life. The idea of settling down that quickly, I think, would be terrifying to most people that have grown up here.
You know, some people, some critics find it kind of odd that a stand-up comic can crank out a book that's pretty thoughtful like this. Does that irk you when you hear those critiques?
No, I get that. I mean, you don't expect a comedian to write a sociology book that has, like, some academic heft. Like, it's never really been done before. I can't think of anything similar, so that doesn't surprise me. But there was one thing I read sometimes I read, like, oh, Aziz Ansari, oh, well, he seems like an unexpected guide for this, you know, oh, this young man from immigrant parents from India. It's like, oh, so if I was, like, a white guy, it wouldn't be unexpected? Like, that's kind of racist. Like, why is it unexpected? Because my parents are from a different country? I grew up here for, you know, born in South Carolina, grew up for, you know, been alive in America for 32 years, dated just as much as any other, you know, person that was born here in my age. So that offended me. But the kind of surprise that I wrote a thoughtful book with academic heft to it doesn't bother me.
How's your love life these days? On the ascent or descent?
Well, I'm with my girlfriend for about 2 years, and it's going good. But, you know, I do think 2 years is kind of the time where things get a little bit trickier, because it's not just about, like, having fun. It's like, oh, you're also trying to maintain this relationship and you know, figure out how you're building a life together. So it's a little bit murkier. I'm kind of past the kind of just like the pure fun stage, but I love my girlfriend very much and we're very happy together.
writer, stand-up comic, and actor Aziz Ansari. His new book is called Modern Romance. Great to meet you, and thanks for the interview.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for nice, thoughtful questions. It was a fun conversation.